Good morning. I actually found 2 days ago that I'm the one who has to make this presentation. So then I started looking at the data, and so bear with me. I thought, you know, we can make it a little bit fun and talk about a few other things in addition to the usual that we hear. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about watershed, the issue that they have, and then we're going to talk about past, present, and some future changes that has been going on in one of the watershed, and we will also talk about football. Any gear of hands here? Okay. This is one of the watershed in Tampa Bay area. If you can look, Tampa, St. Pete, this is Sarasota area. We're looking at Manatee River watershed, around 30,000 hectares. Mostly sandy soils, which is typical of Florida. Area of reservoir is around 300 hectare, and this is actually in the middle of the watershed. Was built in 1967, around 24 miles upstream of Tampa Bay. The average depth is around 4 meters, very well mixed, little or no stratification. This is a drinking water source for more than 300,000 people in Sarasota and Manatee County. So it's extremely, water quality is extremely important in this watershed. And from ecosystem services perspective, their main concern is protection of water quality. So the main issue that they have is nitrogen losses. We have abundant phosphorus in this part of the watershed, natural geology, active phosphorus mining. The typical nitrogen to phosphorus ratio, which can be used to see which nutrient is limiting, suggests not only in this watershed but in other areas that nitrogen is actually the limiting nutrient, which is quite different than what we see in Okeechobee or other parts. These guys, they have a lot of complaints or issues with algal blooms, particularly Anabena, that produces two compounds, geosmins and two MIBs. These cause odor and undesirable taste problems. So they use copper sulfate, which is a common algaecide, to control algae. They have to do more sprays in summer than other months. They also have to use activated carbon to improve taste and get rid of odor. And from county's perspective, this is an economic issue. It costs money to do this thing. Some of the counties, they have been extremely proactive that how they can get a handle on water quality. So they started a surface water monitoring program in 1983. They had 8 stations on the lake initially. Monthly sample collection at each site, they take vertical sample. They analyze for a whole suite of water quality parameters, nitrogen and phosphorus farms as well. This is a reservoir, and these green circles indicate all the stations that they had. They had originally 8 stations, but you can see that over the years they have actually spread into the watershed. So they are looking at water coming from different areas to see where are the hot spots and where they can improve and do some BMPs to improve water quality. So for the purpose of this slide, we're only going to look at one station's data, 25 years of data, which is the last station on the reservoir before they clean it and pump it for other purpose. So talking about what has changed, I guess we all kind of pretty much know about football, but we'll see what happens this year. As far as changes in the watershed, urbanization has been driving the land use, primarily not in Manatee, but also in whole of Tampa Bay watershed, which has almost doubled over the last 25 years or so. Agricultural has gone down a little bit. Upland forest, they have reduced. So overall, this conversion is probably mostly in urban. We also, you see, water jumped around 5%. This was actually active phosphorus mining area. When they mine the phosphorus, they have clay settling ponds, which later count according to the flux system as a water land use. The transportation utilities, which is road network typically, so that's a little bit up too. So this is a reservoir. The pink or purple, this is actually the urban and built up. You can see around the lakes, a couple of years ago, there was nothing going on, but they do have a lot of activity. This area was primarily citrus groves in the past, and in some other areas too, there's also an urban growth. All the greens, they are agriculture. rangelands, and these blues, they are wetlands and other water bodies. So looking at the water quality data, working with this huge database was such a challenge, considering that they had all the parameters that you actually wish that you did in the past. So this is a crude summary. Summary statistics, 25 years, monthly data collection, 300 points, mean, median, and coefficient of variation. So you can see that most of the parameters, the coefficient of variation is not as high as you will normally see. Sometimes we see more variation in treatment than the parameters that they have. And all these, they made Florida drinking water standards most of the time. The only parameter that was copper, and that's because they use copper sulfate to control algae. Lead, there was some issues with the lead, but it was below the drinking water standards. So from this you can get an idea about the water chemistry, that is there anything happening in the watershed with regard to land use changes. This is again a dream database to work with. Most of the time, most of the surface monitoring usually look at total nitrogen and phosphorus, but they have been also looking at the nitrogen farms, which is ammonium or nitrate, which is also a drinking water standard concern, but way below the 10 ppm limit, so no issues in terms of health. But what was interesting was that most of the nitrogen is actually present in the organic nitrogen farms, which is not only in this lake, but we are also doing another studies in Tampa Bay watershed and finding that most of the nitrogen is in fact in the organic nitrogen farms, and we think it's the leaf litter, the vegetation, the temperate, the warm weather. We also think there might be some inputs from on-site wastewater treatment plants. We are looking in that direction as well. The phosphorus is totally opposite. It's mostly, more 90% is dissolved reactive P or inorganic phosphorus. So looking at 25 years, this is total nitrogen. I have three farms. This is Keldal, which is organic plus ammonia, and the nitrate is somewhere here. So not really very low, but we see these huge jumps. And all this is organic nitrogen, and we are still working with this data set, trying to use some models to actually figure out where exactly this organic nitrogen is coming from. Looking at phosphorus, most of it is inorganic, and we do see a little bit trend of increase, and we think this was the time when they had some land area that they started mining, so that might have some impact. And if you have a phosphorus in the sediments that have a long memory, that stay for a longer period of time. So if you have nitrogen and phosphorus, we also had data with chlorophyll A and a lot of other parameters. You can look at what one of the term which lake or aquatic scientists or ecologists use, trophic state index, to see how's the lake water quality. And these are the different parameters. Most of the time this was in the mesotrophic, which was a trophic state index, which means slightly green. That was the category of this lake, which is also very typical of Florida lakes. Most of the Florida lakes, they fall actually 70% into these two categories. But no huge changes over a period of time, and these are monthly means. So if you take yearly mean, that's going to reduce the standard deviation or noise a little bit. So in addition to land use changes, there has also been very interesting things that they have been doing, which was the field practices, irrigation method. For example, seepage sub-irrigation, which was a common irrigation method for vegetable production, tomatoes. This is a ditch that you can see on the side. This was a common method to raise water table to irrigate vegetable production. When they were doing this, they also had huge nitrogen inputs, 400 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. But with the new regulations and water conservation that Florida is going through, now most of the tomatoes, more than 90%, are under micro-irrigation. And with this, the nitrogen inputs has almost reduced to 200. So when you look at overall water quality, in addition to land use changes, there are so many other factors which are driving this. So if you're changing agricultural practices from seepage sub-irrigation to micro-irrigation, And add the best management practices that they are doing, that's going to reduce the nitrogen losses in this watershed. In addition, citrus, same story with irrigation method. They used to use impact sprinklers. Now it's all under micro sprinklers, so a lot less water loss. Urban, in the past it was limited residential development. They do have some conversion of citrus and vegetable land to low density residential, which typically means 2 or 3 acres and one house, which is actually in some cases might be favorable. Looking at the future, most of the counties in Florida has been extremely proactive in conserving the land. And one of the things they are trying to avoid is this intricate mix of urbanization along with the sensitive water bodies. So the county has invested a lot of money in the watershed to buy the land so that they can preserve it. So they're doing really good. Urban development, these are some of the trends. This is a reservoir. It looks like there might be some low density. Low density development. This is again around 25 miles from Sarasota. So looks like looking at the water quality parameter, if this trend keeps on going, it doesn't look like that will have huge impact on water quality. And I just want to conclude this slide that we're talking about ecosystem services, and our presentation turned out to be in this session. So I thought let's talk a little bit about ecosystem services. What impact these things will have. The most important ecosystem services that they have is water quality, particularly nitrogen loss. So I just put, just for argument's sake, that if you have a piece of forest land, you change it to urban and built up, you look at the water quality. Negative means there will be some water quality deterioration. Forest, the pervious area that was groundwater recharge is going to go down, the runoff will increase. But on the other hand, if you have a citrus or vegetable, if you are changing this land to low-density urban development, your nitrogen inputs are actually going to go down. So you might see an improvement or no effect on water quality. Water supply, again, forest, groundwater recharge will reduce, so there will be less groundwater recharge. If you are doing from ag, it's also complicated. If you are using high intensity irrigation, then you actually might have a favorable impact in terms of water supply, carbon sequestration. If you change from forest, that will go down. But if you do from vegetable, the way that is done vegetable production is there's not a whole lot of carbon sequestration going on. Similarly, flood protection, you can also argue that stormwater retention ponds, they may also provide some service. Habitat and recreation, definitely there will be a loss if that land is changed to urban. And I would like to conclude by thanking Manatee County Public Works Department for working with us. We also are working on another Tampa Bay Ecological Services project with EPA. We have several partners. And they're trying to put a dollar value on different ecosystem services in the Tampa Bay watershed. We're looking at wetlands and water quality and nutrient retention. Hope it didn't take too long. Thanks, Steve.